The Coalition of Peaks process was largely to get as many peak bodies from both state, territory and national levels in the room with governments of all levels and all jurisdictions to talk about how we work collectively and in cooperation to move past gaps in our life expectancy and well-being, and look at what it would take structurally to change the process to have Aboriginal people engaged in the conversation and look forward to what those changes would result in if governments across the board started actually working hand in hand with us as experts in our own environment.
Did the Alliance receive any pushback from the government?
The government has obviously put us in the room, and that did take a little bit of work. When you enter into a negotiation, it's a lot of heavy lifting, particularly when you start talking about things like targets and structural reforms.
How important is it that the initiative is Indigenous-led?
It is fundamental to its success. First Nations people are the experts in their own lived experience. And what we know is that across every jurisdiction, every state and territory, every community-controlled sector, there are drivers of outcomes that are specific to those areas. And if the people who understand the complexities of their own communities aren't at the table, then there is absolutely no way to be able to develop the strategies, the policies and the approaches that were curated for success.
What involvement does the Coalition of Peaks have in closing the gap?
Our involvement will be to work alongside the government to put a new emphasis on government's understanding how to work with the community-controlled sector. And the community-controlled sector is organisations who are governed by Aboriginal boards, and those boards are members of the community. The responsibility in there is also around the structural reform. So what we identified as First Nations people is, for us, the targets have not worked. So we needed another way of working, and we looked at what would drive that, and what we identified is that it actually is a process change. It is structural reform. It's understanding that language, law and culture needs to go across everything, that governments need to look at areas like institutionalised racism. How does it evolve? What does it look like? How do we unpack it and remove it? And then it's one thing to say these things, we're going to work with you, blah, blah, blah. We've heard it and heard it and heard it. However, what happens under the priority reforms, the priority reforms targets, and they are targets specifically designed to identify whether or not those things are actually moving and whether or not they are changing. And more importantly, as a living document, changing our strategy to adjust to what might be needed to get the outcomes we're after.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on the targets that the Coalition have addressed in this year's Closing the Gap?
There are 16 national socioeconomic targets in areas like early childhood education, employment and health. These targets all underpin strategy and policy. They're all levers. So without them, we can't effectively negotiate and we can't effectively move. The targets also bring into focus new areas that haven't previously been included in the Closing the Gap strategy. And they're based on what Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people said was important to measure. This includes a target on suicide, children in out-of-home care and adult incarceration and juvenile detention.
And why do you think it's taken this long to have Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander involvement in the program?
Look, I think that comes back to institutionalised racism, actually. These people are working within frameworks that have excluded us as experts.
And what broader impact will this initiative, now being Indigenous-led, have on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities?
Effectively, through the Coalition of Peaks, what it means is the members and the communities that we represent are in their room constantly negotiating with government about how the agreement is progressing and what the agreement needs to be successful. What we hope overall is that the structural reform will actually give enough strength to the agreement to bring around real change for First Nations people. That's our well-being and our life outcomes.
With a third Aboriginal death in custody overnight in WA in the last 2 months, and the Attorney's General decision to not increase the age of criminal responsibility to 14 years old, how will the Closing the Gap scheme aim to address these areas of national injustice?
we are staying very firm on our position, and that is that we have been very, very clear from the outset that the only acceptable result for our shared efforts with government is parity of life outcomes. So that is something that we will continue to negotiate. The subject matter experts in this area are actually our legal sector. So our job as the coalition is to get behind them and support their voice and add our collective impact to the outcomes that they want to achieve.
Are there areas that have not been addressed in the scheme that you believe should be?
I think the agreement is broad enough that it will be able to bring in other areas as they emerge. So the coalition has been very good at identifying where these gaps are. And if we see a gap emerging that needs to be redressed, we will put it on the table and we will work with government on how that gap gets more priority.